If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
So we come, we partner with them, we help them acquire typically 100 to 300 unit buildings in growth markets, usually 70s and 80s built at this time, you know, kind of that lower class B, class C asset that's a little bit worn. We'll work with them through their value improvement plan, but we don't do any of the heavy lifting. We don't pick carpets or paint colors. You know, we let our operating partners do all that. We're really just the money guys.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Noah is a third-generation CPA. He mitered in philosophy and has always approached life holistically. In his experience, money offers choices, but not happiness. In order to achieve freedom, he believes we would need to develop healthy relationships with those around us. As a result, he focuses on measuring and monitoring financial assets and also the value in life, including health, spirituality, relationships, and the impact we can make within our community. Noah has been married for over 20 years, the proud father of two school-aged children, and currently lives in Parkland, Florida. Noah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Hey, pleasure to be here.
Pleasure's all mine. Third generation CPA. Was that written in the in your will at birth or something, or in your birth certificate?
What's funny, the funniest part is my dad told me not to go into accounting. He really didn't want me in the business, in part because he said it's not a business where the 1% of high achievers make the highest income. So most accountants, they have almost a pretty easy time paying for their kids to go to college. So even if you're not the best accountant, you're going to make a nice living. But if you're exceptional, even the most exceptional accountants really have a tough time making over $1 million or $2 million a year. So he was always trying to encourage me to do something that would be more profitable. And I didn't take him up on it. I joined his accounting firm when I was 22 after college, helped him scale it from 12 people to 70, and then helped him sell it to a top 20 accounting firm.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, that's an interesting discussion. We don't have the time to dig into it because I really want to, you know, to tear into what your expertise as a CPA and things you see going on right now are. But you were able to take, as opposed to most accountants, which then they work just for themselves. You guys had a firm, grew it to 70.
Yeah.
That's a different level of accounting. And that's a different skill set altogether. You're not in accounting, then you're running a business.
And that was really, for me, it was the first business where I was able to express my creativity directly, making an impact. And I got to make my dad more wealthy, which was better for me than joining somebody, a stranger's firm, and helping them grow it. And then, you know, since while I was there, I had the good opportunity to grow and scale a few of our clients' businesses. And that was a ton of fun as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's business look like for you today?
It's basically a three-pronged stool. So on the one prong is our family office business. So we work with successful entrepreneurial families that typically have a $20 to $100 million net worth. That's kind of our sweet spot, where they're, you know, certainly rich by any standards, but our goal is to help them be rich beyond money. And we manage not just all their financial affairs, but a lot of the family dynamics, making sure that they're living the life that they want, not just having their money work for them. So that's one big part of our business. The second part is our real estate investment platform called Invest With Our Family. And so over the last 20 years, I kind of started with a two-family house that I house hacked my way. I got $40 at the closing and, you know, turned that into what's now about 4,000 units of multifamily housing around the country. And 2 years ago, I started letting other people invest with our family. And so now we've got about 130 investors. They bought, 1,100 units of apartment buildings over the last 18 months. And we're really growing that business. And then the third part to my life is a company called Fiji, F-I-G-I, FijiRoyalty.com, where we focus on buying income-producing assets, mostly in the internet space. And that company we took public last year. So that's been a really fun and interesting ride. We're just waiting on our ticker symbol right now, but we've been publicly listed for about a year. So.
Oh, wow, man. I wish we had more than 20 minutes here because each of these I would love to dig into and just kind of hear how you grew it, you know, the how'd you do this story. But maybe we focused a little bit on the invest with our family side of things. And then, you know, if we can get a little time in here to kind of see before we close out, you know, get kind of a state of the current affairs discussion. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Great.
Of course.
Talk to me about invest with our family. Can you break that business down?
Yeah. I mean, our business is somewhat uniquely positioned. So we're really just capital allocators. Okay. And what we look for are real estate operators. Typically, they fit a certain profile. Either they've been in the industry for about a decade, they've been working for another family, they've come to the conclusion that they're not going to be an owner of this business that they're in now, and their only way for them to achieve the results they want is to break off and start acquiring the same assets, but doing it on their own. And the challenge that they have is, okay, now I need capital. So we come, we partner with them, we help them acquire typically 100 to 300 unit buildings in growth markets, usually 70s and 80s built at this time, you know, kind of that lower class B, class C asset that's a little bit worn. We'll work with them through their value improvement plan, but we don't do any of the heavy lifting. We don't pick carpets or paint colors. You know, we let our operating partners do all that. We're really just the money guys.
Right, right. Now that's interesting. I guess on that front, how do you structure those deals? Like, what is, are you guys limited partners, or do you come in as the general partners, or is there a certain amount of equity you bring?
There's a whole long story to it, and I'll share the tidbits and you'll decide if you want to dive in. Yeah. But instead of being a co-GP, we actually invest as a limited partner. We bring one single check that's a limited partnership interest investment. And then on the back end, the GP shares their promote with us, but we don't do it as a co-GP because the business that I have that does this consulting work for general partners is based in Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico only charges a 4% corporate tax rate. So instead of having the benefit of a carried interest, where eventually when you sell, the real estate sponsor might pay capital gains tax on their promote, we actually take it as ordinary income. Our partner gets to take it as an ordinary tax deduction. But when we pick it up in Puerto Rico, we only pay 4% tax. And then I don't live in Puerto Rico, so I own that company through a Roth 401k plan. So when the company issues a dividend distribution, it's tax-free to me. It goes into my Roth 401k account. I invest it tax-free. It compounds tax-free, and I'll take it tax-free later in my life.
That's really advanced. I mean, I'm going to have to rewind this when this is over and just follow the pieces that you just laid out. Like, is this strategy something that is well known, or is that something you kind of just cooked up on your own over the years of being in the
I invented it with a gentleman that I had met while trying to do some research. Puerto Rico had come out with these tax laws in 2012. I was shocked when I found out about them in 2014 that I didn't hear about it sooner, but it still seems like it's a secret. You know, here it is almost 9 years since the law was enacted. Still, a lot of entrepreneurs don't know how they could take advantage of it. And a lot of people have the misunderstanding that the only way to take advantage is to actually move to Puerto Rico yourself. So I knew I was raising my young family here in South Florida. I had actually moved here from New Jersey to avoid state income tax and you know, have sunny weather year round. But I didn't want to make that next move to a Caribbean island. And so it took me 2 years to figure out, how do I architect this to work for me and my family?
Yeah. I mean, I can actually think of at least two people I know right offhand that live in Puerto Rico to take advantage of what you just described. But here you are telling me that they don't have to do that if they don't want to.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
depending on which laws you want to take advantage of, you know, there's our family office business is really one of the expertise that we bring to the table is tax structuring. So, you know, when you're making a couple million dollars a year, or you've got big sales of your business or big crypto sales, we just had a new client come to us. He's got $20 million in crypto with no basis. We helped him avoid $4.5 million worth of capital gains tax through restructuring his, you know, affairs to legally avoid that tax.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's brilliant. So you guys are more in the tax architecture space than you are just average everyday, hey, we're accountants and off we go and we do accounting.
Yeah. We don't actually do any tax compliance. We don't file any tax returns for anybody. We don't do, you know, financial statements for anyone. And then, you know, a big part of our business is managing money. So we're managing both the real estate portion of people's money, the stock and bond portion, private debt, private equity. But what we find is that the way to get the best returns are to focus on taxes. Because if the government's not going to take their chunk out of your earnings or out of your appreciation or out of your dividends or interest, you could make a lot more money.
Oh, gosh, yes. I think I posted something on LinkedIn maybe, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. And it was something like a dollar doubled every day for 30 days. And $1 gets taxed at whatever it was, 25%. And after 30 days, I'm making these numbers up because I don't know. It was like $4,500 after 30 days with taxes. And it was like $1 million, you know, without.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. Yep.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah. All you got to do is take your 25% or 50%, whatever you're not giving away, and add that back in. And suddenly, things grow at a lot faster rate. Yep. So that's fantastic. So you guys started investing as limited partners on your own with your own money. And then,
Originally I was buying my own properties. And, okay. You know, what happened after I had 7 units and I was working as a practicing accountant, helping my dad scale his firm, I started to notice at least one day a week during the week and at least one day on the weekends, I was spending an hour or two dealing with just these 7 units. And so I started doing the math. And while my return on investment was a reasonable kind of mid-teens rate, right, when I added my time and I said, well, what would somebody have to pay me to do this work? And I deducted it as if I was a vendor. I was, this is like, I'm making like 5-6% on my money. This isn't worth it. So that's what got me into syndication.
Got it. So you got into syndication, but did you do it first off with your own money, or did you always bring other family office money along with you?
As soon as I got started in syndication, I brought other people's money. I realized that my own kind of talent is in relationships and managing relationships and managing capital. And so I said, why am I taking, you know, my money and putting it into a $400,000 two-family house in my town? Why don't I just go to my clients and I'll go find a deal and I'll bring $2-3 million to it and I'll make money on everybody's money. So, you know, that's really what has driven that business model. So I started with some individual syndication. We moved into a fund structure. And then 2 years ago, I went back to syndication and I started letting other people invest with me that I wasn't in charge of their total balance sheet. So they'd just say, hey, Noah, can I give you $100,000? Can I give you $200,000? And I'd start taking it.
Right, right. Oh, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. Gosh, there's so many places I want to take this. We'll ask these couple of quick questions, then we'll really want to get a feel for what things are going on in the current state of affairs. So I guess, what are some things you see people doing right as they are doing their tax planning and structuring, and what are they doing wrong?
The biggest thing people do wrong is they don't get a second opinion. So oftentimes, you know, one of the best parts of being in the accounting business is that average client retention is 17 years. The downside for the clients is that they're often, because they've got that great relationship with their current tax preparer, they're not out seeking advice from somebody else. And so, you know, I had a friend of mine just talking about taxes. He said, hey, can I show you my returns? And lo and behold, I got him a $250,000 refund. But the kind of the sad news was his accountant had been making the same mistake for 11 years, and I could only go back and fix 3 years. So had his accountant done it properly, he would have gotten about $700,000 back. So you just never know. If you don't get a second opinion, you'll never know if your accountant's making a mistake.
Yeah, no, that's so true. That's so absolutely true. And it blows me away, the number of professionals I know still that are, even in my own network, that are still doing their own taxes. And I'm like, guys, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is what we have professionals for. So what's something that you see people are doing right that we should emulate?
Man, you know, I get to see the mistakes more than I see what people are doing right. If they're doing it right, they probably haven't found me. I'm finding the people that are looking at a 7-figure tax bill going, what could I do? What could I do? And then they come to me and I help them solve it. Right. So I think when people do things right, what they're doing is they're taking advantage of the tax code. So the politicians, you know, they're changing the tax code all the time and they're motivating us to take certain behaviors. So when a president comes into office like Donald Trump and says, hey, I'm going to set up these opportunity zones. Well, listen, see if you want to take advantage of that. And then when you have another administration, like perhaps the Biden administration, that comes in and says, hey, if you want to get a capital gain, I might charge you 43.6%. And by the way, if you live in California, add another 13 on top of it. So that might demotivate you from taking certain actions. So you've got to see what the politicians are telling you they want you to do with their money and follow their lead. Let them tell you what they want you to do.
Right. Yeah. That's a great segue into where we are right now. There's a lot of talk. you know, with the Biden administration, there's a lot of crazy things that might be coming down the pipe. So what are some things that we're seeing that are some potential changes, and then what should we might be prepared for?
So I think there's really three big changes that are being talked about. One is the estate taxes. So if you were to gift money during your lifetime or when you die and you want to leave money to your beneficiaries, right now the rules are the best they've ever been since there's been a tax. And basically a couple, married couple, could leave a little bit more than $23 million to their kids and grandkids and not pay any income tax or estate tax rather. Now, that law is set to expire in 2026. So if we do nothing in 2026, it'll probably be something like 11 or 12 million for a couple. Still not, you know, it's a pretty reasonable amount of money. But what Joe Biden's proposing is to reduce that perhaps down to 7 million for a couple, so 3.5 million per person. And then in addition, today's tax rate on the amount above that is 40%. And Bernie Sanders had come out with a proposal saying that maybe it should be taxed as high as 60%. So depending, you know, once you get over a certain threshold, so on his proposal, it's like over $1 billion would be at 60%, over 50 million would be at 55%, over 10 million would be at 50%. So depending on how wealthy you plan to be when you die, you might want to start thinking about your own estate plan. And so we had a lot of clients in the last 12 months that updated their estate plan, that took care of things so that they could avoid an estate tax no matter what the laws are. And I would encourage a lot of young professionals, especially when that just seems like something so far off and so meaningless today, it's really easy to get around the estate tax if you're willing to invest a little bit of time and money.
Right, right. Okay, so that's the first item. What's the second item we're looking at?
Yeah, the second one is this capital gains tax that I just referenced. So right now, the current capital gains tax for a long-term capital gain is 20%, plus there's this Obama tax that they refer to. That's like another 3.6%. Well, Biden's suggesting that we double that capital gains tax rate to 40% and then add the 3.6 on top on capital gains over $1 million. So if you have capital gains, and means I think it's not just a capital gain is over $1 million, but if your ordinary income was $1 million and now you had a capital gain, you'd be paying this 43.6% tax. So the challenge for 2021 is that if they change the tax law prior to 12/31/2021, that law applies for the entire tax year. So if they don't specifically exclude transactions that took place before the day the law was enacted, it's going to impact anybody that had any capital gain transactions throughout the whole entire year. Now, who knows? You know, nobody has a crystal ball to see what's coming down the pike. I'd like to think that there's enough pressure that people would say, hey, don't harm people. Let's make this effective 1/1/22. But what that means is if you have a large embedded capital gain and some appreciation in assets, whether it's crypto or real estate or stock market holdings, you might want to do some planning this year to think through, how will I eventually exit this asset and not give half to the government?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you're right. If it goes effective 12/31, then you're out of time. You're out of time to prepare and
right,
take advantage. So you're saying we should start thinking about that right now as if it were actually going to pass.
Correct. Wow. Yeah. And then the third one is on income tax itself. So Biden has basically said on any household that earns $400,000 or more, you should expect an income tax increase. So whether you're married and each person is making $200,000, or you're married and you've got one person making $400,000, or you're single and you're making $400,000, you should expect to be paying more in taxes. Now, the amount of additional tax still remains to be unseen and undetermined. This is also coming true on the corporate side. So corporate tax rates are right now 21%. Biden has suggested raising them back to 35%. It looks like it'll probably be somewhere between 25 to 28% when the dust settles. But along with those tax increases come a lot of tax cuts that they plan to eliminate, like 1031 exchanges, like bonus depreciation, like step up in basis at death on the estate tax. So all of these changes that are being talked about, the question in my mind is not, if they will take place. It's when will they take place? It may not happen in 2021, but I think the agenda is clear from this administration that they want to take the money from the people that are earning it and use it to refill the coffers after having just printed $6 trillion. They're going to need money from somewhere. And the best place to go is the people that have it.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I don't think it could be said more clearly than what you just said. So take heed if you're listening and then take action to protect yourself. Noah, I do appreciate your time. Let's jump here into the final four if we can. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Think big. I'd say the mistake that I made when I got started with, you know, house hacking my way to getting my initial deposit returned at closing, you know, that was what I thought was the only way I could do it. And then I went on to buy these other multifamily houses. In the end, it was the wrong business for me. The right business for me was being in syndication. And what I've tried to convince myself over time is that I really do have no limits. I could take a company public. I could buy 1,000 units of multifamily housing, and I could scale my family office all in the same year, all working on a reasonable schedule. Now, I wouldn't have believed that a couple of years ago. So I had to really adjust my mindset. And I'd say to new investors, think big. Don't confine yourself. Don't limit yourself.
I love that. I love that. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
I love reading. So I would just say that, like, Ray Dalio is a great example. He's runs the largest hedge fund in the world. He wrote this book called Principles. He's worth like $20, $40 billion. Who knows, right? He took the time to write a book about all of his thinking, and he was willing to sell it to me for $25. And here I am reading, you know, hours and hours of material from a multi-billionaire. It's like the best gift in the world. So look for those opportunities to learn from someone that's done something that you want to do and get that information from them, perhaps through a book.
Right. No, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
So I love entrepreneurs. I support entrepreneurs by helping them not only to avoid the income tax. The reason I love doing that is because I think they're going to deploy capital better than the federal government or the state government, because they're hiring people, they're buying equipment, they're putting that money back to work in ways that I really enjoy and appreciate. So I'm really passionate about serving entrepreneurs. I think they're the true heroes of our time. They're the ones that are bringing innovation and value, and I want to support them as best I can.
Right. No, that's awesome. I do appreciate that. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
LinkedIn's always a good spot. Noah Rosenfarb on LinkedIn. You could try connecting with me on Facebook, but I really only connect with people that we have a lot of mutual connections. So LinkedIn might be a little bit better. And email, you could always email me if you had a specific question. It's noah@freedomfamilyoffice.com.
Awesome. Noah, thank you for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
With pleasure.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.